And we're going to be in chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to be reading the fourth verse. So Proverbs 14, verse 4. As we come to this next proverb, we, I think, have to understand a little of its historical context. The children of Israel lived in a what we refer to as an agrarian economy. An agrarian society is a place where the economy is based on producing and maintaining crops and farmland. This meant that the cultivation of the land was the primary source of wealth for the children of Israel. And indeed, the Lord had told them such before they would enter the promised land. They would know what type of land it was. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, that the Lord, Moses said to the children of Israel, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, of land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." So the children of Israel knew before they would enter the land that it would be an agrarian society, economy. And one of the blessings of the promised land was would be its fruitfulness. And that's what the Lord told them. Now, it is important to know that this would require much effort on the part of the children of Israel. They would need to engage in tilling the ground, planting the seed, depending on the rain, or constructing irrigation systems and reaping the crops at the time of harvest. That is a lot of work. I know I said just those words. I had the opportunity to work with a farmer, the Henshins in Ohio, throughout a summer. I interned at a church in Lima, Ohio, and they lived about 30 minutes south, good friends with my parents. And every Monday I would go out there. I think it was on a Monday, either Monday or Friday. I had a day off, and I would go down there and work and help them on the farm. And from sunrise to sundown, it's work, work, work. And so this would be a lot of work. And so for this agricultural work to be done, one of the most common animals that was employed for farming was the ox. Now, we have to understand the importance of an ox in the eyes of the children of Israel. These animals were vital to the agricultural economy of the Israelites. This was also true of all agricultural societies at the time. The ox was held in high esteem for a number of important reasons. It was the patient labor of the ox that farmers largely depended on. Oxen were used for plowing their fields. They were employed in treading out corn. They were used to carry heavy loads. The cows were vital in supplying milk, butter, and other necessities. So important were these animals, in fact, that laws and guidelines were given with the care of the oxen in mind. They were not allowed to muzzle the ox that treaded the corn. The ox was commanded to also rest on the Sabbath day along with its master. Exodus chapter 23, verse 12 says this, "6 days shalt thou do all thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed." So the conclusion we make concerning the ox is that this animal was clearly important. The labor of an ox brought great benefit to those who employ them, whether it was for plowing. The ox would pull an instrument that was used for grooving or for tearing up the ground. Deuteronomy 22 verse 10 says, thou shalt not plow with an ox as together. 1 Kings 19:19, when Elijah meets Elisha, what was Elisha doing? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him.
And Elijah threw his mantle, and then he ended up following Elisha, ended up following Elijah. And so the idea here is we see that all throughout the Old Testament that the oxen were employed for agriculture, for plowing the field. Whether it was also for treading, the word treading, when the Bible says the ox that treaded out the corn, the word tread means to beat, to crush, to press. And so Deuteronomy 25 verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." And so we have this in mind that Israel was an agricultural economy, and one of the greatest, I guess you could say, employees in the sense of animals that was used in that economy was the ox. Now we come to our text in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, with the knowledge that the Israelites lived in an economy that was primarily agricultural. Furthermore, in this economy, one of the greatest aids was the work of an ox. And this proverb is primarily applicable to the society then, but it is also applicable in a different way to our lives today. And that's, by the way, the value of the Proverbs, that they are timeless bits of wisdom. And although you have to have the culture in mind when this proverb is given, the application carries to today. So notice with me Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Let's all stand together if you are able to this evening. I want us to read this together, this proverb together. Proverbs 14 and verse 4. Ready, begin. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So we see here, just as you hold on here, he mentions the word crib. The word crib is a word, the same word would be a manger or a stall. And so the crib was the place where the ox was kept. And here is what the proverb says. If you do not have an ox, the stall will be kept clean. If you do have an ox, the stall will be dirty. That's the implication here. And therefore must be constantly cleaned and tended to. If you do not have an ox, you do not enjoy the much increase that comes by the strength of the ox. If you do have an ox, you are able to enjoy the much increase that comes by the strength of the ox, but you will have a dirty crib. So it seems that this proverb here leaves us with a choice. If you want the benefit that the ox will bring, you must accept the reality that you will have a dirty crib. But if you want a clean crib, you must forsake the ox and the benefit that comes with the ox. So I'd like to preach this evening a message that I've entitled, "The Ox is Worth a Dirty Crib." The ox is worth a dirty crib. Or, I heard a sermon actually preached from this proverb by Dr. Clarence Sexton, and he summarized this proverb this way, and he has the title, so I'm not going to steal his title, but here's his title: "Keep the Ox and Clean the Crib." Keep the ox and clean the crib. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for this book of wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us this wisdom that is taught here in this specific proverb about the ox and the crib and the increase and the strength of the ox. Lord, help us to make sense of those things as we understand in the world then, but also as we understand it in our world today. So give us the ability to discern, to understand this wisdom and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to make some statements about this proverb, some things that we learn or that this proverb teaches us. And when we think about a proverb, remember it is a short saying that teaches us many truths. Not just necessarily one truth, but often many truths and various aspects that are taught in this specific proverb. Now remember that here this proverb lays before us, as many other proverbs do, a choice that we have to make. Now, so for example, when you read the proverb, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." that proverb leads us with a choice. We can either be like the ant, or we can be a slugger. And most of the proverbs really are there to give us a contrast or to put forth a dynamic where we are brought forth with a choice. And the choice here is clear. Now repeat it. If you want the benefit that the ox will bring, you must accept the reality that you will have a dirty crib. But if you want a clean crib, and that is what your focus is, you must forsake the ox, but also the benefit that the oxen can bring. Where no oxen are, the proverb goes, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So first of all, as we look, consider this proverb, we see that this proverb teaches us of the necessity of labor. This proverb teaches us of the necessity of labor. Now remember here that Israel is an agrarian economy. That most of them, remember, they are given a portion of the land. And from the land, God said they would reap some great benefits. But we know that when God told them that they would reap, that this land would be very fruitful, it was not, it did not leave the idea to them that they would do no work. As a matter of fact, you remember, we studied in the book of Exodus that every seventh year was a Sabbath year where they were not to till the land and to bring forth a harvest. The 50th year, the year of Jubilee, was the same thing, which tells us that every other year, much work was needed. You see, this proverb here teaches us of the necessity of labor. The children of Israel would be required to labor in this land. Yes, the land would be a fruitful land, as promised, but they would not enjoy the fruit without the labor. You know, increasingly we are living in a society that does not want to labor. Now, I think we know this to be true in society, generally speaking. I grew up in France, and one of the things that France is known for is first going on strike. A full work week is, I believe, 35 hours, but I believe during my time in France, it went down to 32 hours. That was a full-time job, 32 hours. I mean, here that's like a part-time job. It's almost not a job at all. But they always complain about the same thing. They want to work less for more pay. And that's the society there. By the way, we see that here as well. Kind of creeping in the younger generations. They don't want to work really hard. They want to get paid more than they've ever been paid before. And so we live in a society that has been, the only word I can think about is Sisyphified, where people don't want to work hard. But hard work should not be seen as something that is detrimental. Hard work is actually something that develops character. It is not something that will crush you and hinder you and cause you to have a life of depression. It will actually cause the opposite. I remember when I was going to, actually the summer before Bible college, I was looking for a job, and I just asked anybody, hey, can I do any work? I'll do anything. And that was my dad's words. Go to people and tell them I'll do anything. I'm going to Bible college, so I need money, and so I'm willing to work. And so I had this man. He was in a local warehouse that sold windows and doors primarily, but they furnished contractors. And he was a salesman in a dealer's warehouse there in Powell, Tennessee. And he said, oh, yeah, I got a job for you to do at the house. And so I showed up at his house one morning, and there was a pile of rocks on the side of his house. And he says, here's a wheelbarrow and a shovel, and I want you to get those rocks, put them in the wheelbarrow, and go all the way down the hill, and I want you to dump the rocks down there. And so I got to work, and I took all of the rocks, although I thought it was somehow pointless, but I took all the rocks in the wheelbarrow, I wheeled them down to the bottom of the hill, and I dumped them there, and then I was done. And he, after he saw my work, he put in a good word for me, and then he told the warehouse manager, you need to hire this young man. Now, I attribute this to my dad teaching me that you work hard. And hard work is not going to hurt anybody. By the way, parents, this is a good counsel for your children. Do not do everything for your children. It is not healthy for them. You must help them to work on their own. If you do not develop them, when they're going to be adults, they're not going to do very well. Prepare them now to work hard. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to help them and develop them. Hard work should be seen as something that develops character and does not hinder it. Now, where there is no labor, where there is no labor, you will find barrenness and desolation. Now, I believe here that's true, that you can look at any society, and when a society becomes to be more entertained than working, then you're going to find a society that's going to be over time barren and desolate. But I also want to apply this idea that there is hard labor and hard work. Often we don't think about it, but I want us to think about the life and the ministry of the church, the local church. If it is our expectation that when we assemble ourselves as a church and that we will not have to do any labor or any hard work, then we are mistaken. I would even say that where there is no labor in the church, there will be barrenness and desolation. By the way, this shows the folly of those. If you think about those who choose to have no oxen, they forsake the increase by the strength of the ox. This shows the folly of those who addict themselves to the pleasures of the country, but do not mind the business of the country. By the way, for the believer in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let me remind you that he told the believers after he talked about the gifts that have been given to every believer, he says, do not be slothful in business. He says, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Somehow, we come to church, and I know that we come to church and we think, well, most people who serve in the ministries of the church do so on a volunteer basis, and I know that. But that doesn't mean that no labor should be involved. That the work of the church should not be hard. We should not be slothful in business. We should be fervent in spirit. Why? Because we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to think about the years that you've been employed by your employer, who is, by the way, an employer in the world, and how fervent and diligent you've been in being a good employee. But how much more diligent should you be for God, who has employed you in His work? So this proverb teaches us of the necessity of labor by virtue of the proverb itself. But as we begin to look at this proverb, we learn that this proverb also teaches us that whenever we engage in labor, there are unpleasant aspects that must be accepted. Let me say this again. This proverb teaches us that whenever we engage in labor, there are unpleasant aspects that must be accepted. Notice, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. If you have an ox that you employ at that time, if a man had an ox that he employed to labor in his field, he had to accept, the moment he had an ox, he had to accept the fact that one of the aspects of having an ox is that he would have a dirty crib that needed to be cleaned. By the way, this is just as part of life as breathing. If you want to labor and have much increase by the strength of the ox, if you want that ox, here is what comes with laboring with an ox. You're going to have a dirty crib. He is teaching them here by this proverb, here is wisdom for life in general, that when you labor, you will have unpleasant aspects that you must accept. We ask maybe this question here. What is more important? Much increase or a clean crib? Now for some, in application here, many people, I'm afraid, in this world, and even maybe in the life of the church, are more interested in a clean crib than they are in the oxen. I'm reminded of New Testament passages we can think of. You remember in Acts chapter 5 when Peter and John were told that they could not preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. And they departed from the presence of those who had threatened them and had beaten them. And here's how you solve this problem. If you didn't want the beating, Peter and John, then it's very easy. Stop preaching. Correct? If you didn't want to labor for God and preach in the name of Jesus, then stop preaching if you didn't want the beating. Them engaging in the ministry and serving the Lord meant that there was unpleasant aspects that they had to accept. And the only way to solve the issue would be not to preach. So they had to make a decision. What do we want? Do we want a clean crib or do we want much increase? By the way, they chose much increase over the clean crib. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, as Paul is describing his interest into Ephesus, he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Well, I don't want the adversaries. I want a clean crib. Okay. Then stop serving the Lord, Paul. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you," speaking to His disciples, "that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so the question here comes in when we look at this proverb, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Is that what you want? Is that what you're interested in? Is that what your focus is, on a clean crib? You just don't want to deal with a dirty crib. Then get rid of the ox. Do no labor. Don't serve God. Don't do anything. Or if your eye is on the much increase by the strength of the ox, the question is, is it worth it? The ox is worth a dirty crib. Allow me to make an application for our benefit. By the way, if you have an ox, if they had an ox at that time, they would have a dirty crib. Keep the ox and clean the crib. The ox is worth a dirty crib. Now, let me try to make some applications in all of our eras, because again, I believe here this is a timeless proverb, a timeless bit of wisdom that was not just designed for them just to apply to the ox, and that they were to limit this piece of wisdom just to the ox. No, it applies to every area of our lives, does it not? As a parent, there are two choices. Either you can clean the crib, or you get rid of the children. Correct? When children come in, the idea that the Bible teaches us is you have to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what you have to do with children. And so when you have children, you take on this responsibility. And sometimes people are more interested in having a clean crib than they are in the much increase that comes by labor. And doing what they're supposed to do in teaching and raising their children, two choices, either get rid of the children or clean the crib. And what I mean get rid of the children is don't pay attention to them. Leave them to themselves. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. As a husband, two choices. Either get rid of the wife or clean the crib. Which one are you going to do? Which one do you want? As a wife, either get rid of the husband or clean the crib. You see, I know how to get rid of the problems in all marriages. Either do away with your husband and wife and your problems will all go away. No. We should rather keep the ox and clean the crib. It is worth it. You think as an employee, two choices. If maybe you are, let's say, an employer that hires employees, and by virtue of if you have a business and you're multiplying your reach and you're employing more people, guess what? More problems that means. More people involved. And so you may get to the place where I'm just tired of dealing with employees. Well, you got two choices. Either get rid of the employees or clean the crib. If you have an employer, quit the job or clean the crib. Let me bring it to the church as a volunteer in church ministry. Two choices. Either stop all ministries or accept that you must clean the crib. You know, there's a formula. If we don't want to clean the bathrooms anymore, you know what we have to do? Close the bathrooms. Just put a piece of duct tape on top of it and say, hey, nobody can use the bathroom anymore. Why? Because we don't want to clean the bathroom. So which is it? Stop using the bathroom or clean the bathroom? The nursery. Two choices. Let's either close the nursery or keep changing the diapers. Clean the crib. Which one? Which one are we going to do? Well, it's a lot of work. And people, they miss the service. I understand that. But what is it that we want? You see, remember the principle here. This proverb teaches us that whenever we engage in labor, there are unpleasant aspects that have to be accepted. And they are, and if they are not accepted, then we will quit. Why? Because our focus on, well, we just want a clean crib. We just want, don't want any problems. And that's just not the way life works. So we could, oh, by the way, you know how we would need to clean this auditorium again? Close the church. Then we would not need to clean the auditorium. No need. No meeting. That solves the problem, doesn't it? No, because then there's no much increase. There's nothing there. As a pastor, two choices. Either I can get rid of people, or I can clean the crib. And what I mean by that is, the ministry is people. Sometimes pastors think, well, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. But the people's the ministry. It's not the pews. It's not the walls. And to be honest, sometimes it'd be much easier to say, let's just close this thing down so that we don't have any people problems anymore. No. Keep the ox and clean the crib. Keep the ox and clean the crib. See, in all labor, there is a price to pay. Cleaning the crib is sticky work. It's undesirable work. If you are going to use, however, the strength of the ox, there is always a price to pay. So we learn here that this proverb teaches us of the necessity of labor. It teaches us that whenever we engage in labor, there are unpleasant aspects that we must accept. But thirdly, we see that this proverb teaches us about the benefit of the ox. So let's forget about wanting to have a clean crib for just a moment. Never wanting to have the crib dirty for just a moment. Let's think of the other side of this proverb, which is this. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. The question then is raised, is the dirty crib worth the effort? Is the dirty crib worth the effort? You see, if you're going to have much increase, you have to keep the ox. The crib is the place where the ox is kept. And if you want a clean crib, you should get rid of the ox. But if you like to have an ox, and you like the increase that comes by the strength of the ox, then you're going to have to clean the crib. You're going to have to do something that you necessarily don't want to do. But if you insist on having a clean crib, then you will insist on, you must insist on not having an ox. Because if you have an ox, the crib will never be clean. However, if you truly want an increase, you must realize that you need the strength of the ox. You see, there is no way to have the much increase without the dirty crib. There is no way to have the much increase without the dirty crib. So there's one more thing I'd like to share with you, and that is that this proverb teaches us to place our eyes on the future increase over the unpleasantness of the present. Let me say that again. This proverb teaches us to place our eyes on the future increase over the unpleasantness of the present. Let's bring ourselves back to Israel at that time. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Yeah. But much increases by the strength of the ox. You know what the ox was first used for when you begin in the spring? It was used to plow the field. You don't see any fruit from that. But it opens the dirt up so that you can plant the seed. And then when you plant the seed and the ox has done that hard work, then you have to wait for a long time. And guess what? The ox does not stop doing its business all summer long. And you have to keep cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, although you see no increase and no fruit. The soil gets dirty week after week after week after week, and you get tired of it and say, well, how about we just get rid of the ox? But you're going to need the ox when harvest comes. You see, here is where we have to keep our eyes on. There is a purpose to be fulfilled. Now, what's the purpose here as we think about this agrarian economy? The family had to eat. That's pretty important, isn't it? Now, they didn't have grocery stores we have them today. They had to do this if they want to feed the family, keep the ox, clean the crib. The family had to eat. See, they focused on the future increase over the unpleasantness of the present. And here is where we often go wrong. We make decisions based on what is going on in the present. And we do not have our eyes on the much increase that comes later. And so what we do in the present often is we get rid of the ox because we want a clean crib now. We often think about this, the circle of life, we call it, you know, you dig the ditch to make the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. And when you dig the ditch to make the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. And sometimes you say, well, what's the point of going all this? You have to get your eyes on the increase of the future. Let me put it this way in that time. Two farmers both have an ox. The one over here, he sees the family that he must feed. While the other is just so bothered by how the crib is dirty. The frustration of the present blinds this farmer from seeing the increase. But the second farmer, he finds fulfillment in the purpose. The greater why. The greater goal that is beyond the present. And so what he does is this. He gladly cleans the crib today. He gladly cleans the crib today. I was thinking about the song. It's entitled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? It's hymn 414 in your hymnals there. And here's what... Hear the words of the hymn. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this thy world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. So let me say this again. The ox is worth a dirty crib. So here's what we must do. Here is what I believe this proverb is teaching us. Let us keep the ox and clean the crib. Let us keep the ox and clean the crib.